Well, again, good morning. I want to say, as I said before Mass, welcome to Christ Redeemer. If today is your first day joining us, I want to say welcome. If you heard that we are in a series about hearing God, and if at this stage of your life you desire to hear God in your own life, if that's what brought you to join us this morning, I want to say welcome. Great to have you. If 2018 is a time, it's a year where you are resolved to go deeper with God and maybe reconnect with church, and that's what brought you here this morning. Just want to say welcome. And if you are anywhere on the journey, whether you are a saint or a sinner, you're in good company this morning. We're all on the journey together, and we're all open this morning to hearing what God wants to say to us as we are now in week two of a series about hearing God. A little story that can help us kind of wade in the water this morning. Just 3 weeks ago, Father Bryce and I stood before you, and we promised that we would go slow and steady in these first 6 months. Made a commitment that in these first 6 months, we would be discerning, that we would be intentional, and that our focus would be on rediscovering who you are, getting to know you all over again, reestablishing relationship, and celebrating what God has been doing in your life since we last saw you. This past week, I had a beautiful opportunity to be in some of our homes, and while the family will remain nameless, a beautiful story this week in one of our homes, which actually began with the line from today's second reading, St. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 7, verse 29, says, I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is running out. Now, you might think that that is referring to the last line of today's first reading, verse 31. It says, for the world in its present form is passing away. But in South Louisiana, many of us know what he was talking about when one of our own parishioners said, that time is running out. Of course, we know that he was referring to deer season. It's hunting season. We've got a couple more weeks left to hunt deer. And he was unpacking for me his ritual for hunting. As he said to his wife, the reason why I'm away so much, the reason why I like to hunt so much, is because I pray when I'm in the deer stand. He set out the scene for me as it's early in the morning. And he gets up. He slowly makes his way out there to his stand. Nature beckons him as the world is kind of waking up and it's kind of quiet. The scene unfolds in silence. And he pays attention in the quiet with little distraction and he prays. And that is why he's hunting every weekend, right? As the conversation was unfolding, as he was kind of lobbying for me to kind of support him in that, I did. I said, you know, I can understand why a lot of guys would say that. While I am not a hunter myself, I'm more of a fisherman, I can certainly understand how a guy would say that. And I looked at her and I said, you know, he probably does pray when he's in the deer stand. And she looked at me and she says, oh, you're just saying that because you're a guy. Then I looked at him and I said, now, she's going to understand that and she's going to trust what you're saying if you spend as much time with her when you're home as you describe as you're in the deer stand. So let me ask you, brother. I said, do you spend that much time with your other deer, D-E-A-R, when you're home? And she laughed and she chuckled and he looked at me and he says, oh, you're just saying that because you're a priest. But there is a part of me that does understand how he would say what he said as he described his experience. I can certainly understand how many of us, if we were in that moment where it was silent, where nature was waking up and we didn't have any distractions, how we would find it easier for us to pray. And certainly in that moment, why he would say that he finds it easier for him to hear God. He described an experience without a whole lot of distractions. And now this is my words, kind of reflecting upon his experience. But what he described was being present to the present moment. The phone wasn't ringing. People weren't reaching out to him. And he had to pay attention not only to the outside, but he had to pay attention to his inside. He had to pay attention to what nature was revealing to him. He had to pay attention to what he saw happening in front of him. He had to pay attention to where he was. And the more that we are attentive to the present moment on the outside, it simply more naturally disposes us to pay attention to the inside. We notice our thoughts more. We are naturally more recollecting, and it's there as we are present to the present moment. It's easier for us to hear God. I was driving home that night, and as I was reflecting upon my conversation, I had to admit that I'm not really present to the present moment a whole lot of times in my own life. Just staying before you today is probably one of the biggest offenders of not being present to the present moment, huh? I want to be present to the people who I love the most. Let's start with my mom and my dad. I don't spend time with them the way that I really want to. My calendar doesn't always avail that. But even when I am with my parents, trying to treasure the precious time that I have with them, so often my eyes are on my phone to see if there's a text or an email or maybe even just what time it is. When I'm with my family, as infrequent as that is, so many times my mind is trying to dot the I's and cross the T's of where I just was, or my mind is beginning to get prepared for where I'm going to be after I'm with them. I'm either wrapped up in the past or I am looking ahead to the future. I can't tell you how many times, just to be completely honest and completely transparent with you, that I have the privilege and the sacred opportunity to be with you in one-on-one conversation, and I'm fighting to be present to the present moment. It just seems like the pace of life, the momentum of life, the trajectory of our pace threatens my ability to be present to the present moment. And I bet we all have that in common. Don't raise your hand, don't shake your head, but how many of us struggle to be present to the present moment? So saying in the church that grace builds on nature, what that means is that a whole lot of times the answers to the spiritual life are found in the natural world, in our human life. And as we find ourselves in week two of a series on hearing God, one of the most influential things that impacts our ability to hear God, as we said last week, is not God's desire to be heard, because God has a desire to be heard, but it's our disposition, it's our ability to hear God is often influenced by whether we are even present to the present moment. Little recap, let's walk back in the waters because it's been 7 days since we saw each other. And if you weren't here for week one, what we talked about in the first week of this series is that God has a desire to be heard more than we have the desire to hear God. One more time, last week we celebrated that God wants to be heard more than we want to hear God. So the good news at the very beginning of this series is that the very person that we want to connect with wants to be connected with. And God is always outdoing us. He's not only expending more energy to be heard, but God's always taking the initiative in our life in order for us to hear Him. What we saw last week in Samuel and what we see again this week is that the art, you might say, the trick to hear God is to put ourselves in the position where we can be found, to put ourselves in a position where we can hear God. And then, as we see this week, to be present to the present moment so that we can receive what God wants to say to us. The first reading today comes from the book of the prophet Jonah. We pick it up today in chapter 3 where The very first line in the first reading today is, the word of the Lord came to Jonah saying. Let's stop right there. Let me repeat that. It said, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. It found Jonah. God took the initiative to reach out to Jonah. Jonah was found by God. God touched his heart. And Jonah was present enough to the present moment to hear God. It's really important for us to try to wrap ourselves into, enter into the human part of the story. There's not a great description of who Jonah was, and there's no description of Jonah's day here, but I can promise you this. Jonah didn't wake up this day with his cell phone reminding him that God was going to speak to him. There was no point on his calendar where he said, okay, I'm going to have to pay attention to 10:53 in the morning because that's when God's going to speak to me. Jonah was just living his life. He was an ordinary guy, just like you and I, going through an ordinary life, just like you and ours. And God came to Jonah. God reached out to Jonah, and Jonah was present enough to the present moment to hear God. And the implications of that are dramatic. People's lives were affected because Jonah was present to the present moment. He walked through Nineveh. It said it took him 3 days to walk through this capital city of the Assyrian Empire of about 120,000 people. It took him 3 days. And as he just said to other people what God said to him, people's lives were changed. Because Jonah was present to the present moment. The gospel today, the gospel from Mark, tells us of this story of how Jesus found his disciples, his first followers, his apostles. Jesus was the one who went out and searched for Simon and his brother Andrew. And they were casting their nets into the sea. They were working. They were busy with other things. Back then, fishing was a lot harder than it is now. It required a lot of labor. You had to pay attention to what you were doing. There was a lot of physical exercise involved in the event. And when they had everything going on, in some moment, they were present to the present moment to hear Jesus say just a couple words, follow me. And in that moment, as Peter and Andrew were present to the present moment, they not only heard God, but they left everything to follow him. And people's lives are changed even today. We would not have the same history in our Christianity if these two guys would not have been present to the present moment and were not able to hear God. What we see in the readings today is examples of ordinary people, ordinary men who heard God because they were present to the present moment. And if we're going to hear God, we have to be present to the present moment. Now, I want us to imagine what our lives would look like, not only if we could hear God, but on a basic level, imagine what our lives would look like if you and I were able to be present to people that are in front of us. In other words, if we can't be present to people that are in front of us, how do we expect ourselves to be present to God who is speaking to us? Grace builds on nature, and if we want to see breakthroughs in our supernatural experience, then sometimes we need to start with our ordinary, human, natural experience to be present to the present moment. And it has implications for us to be present to the present moment. One of the more sobering experiences I've ever had in my life came on this very last retreat in the summer of 2017. I was in Broomtree Retreat Center up in South Dakota, and it was a beautiful experience for me, and had this encounter with God on retreat where he showed me just how blessed I am. And I'm a blessed person. I have been invited into countless experiences in people's lives just like yours, and I am grateful for every one of those, the privilege of being a priest of Jesus Christ to absolve people of their sins, to anoint people in their times of physical weakness, and to consecrate the Eucharist, there are some profound blessings there. And I was relishing on all of that, kind of savoring the blessings that God gave me. And then in my prayer, the experience shifted. Not to what God has given me, but as God showed me what He has always wanted to give me that I missed out on. This image of all of these blessings that I've missed out on because I wasn't present to the present moment. I want us to imagine just for a second all of the blessings that God has tried to pour forth in your marriage. And they are many, but imagine how many more things God has wanted to do in your marriage that we have just not been able to taste and see because we weren't present to the present moment. I want you to imagine how many blessings are there for you as a parent. And God has blessed you there. But imagine how many times God has tried to whisper to you with wisdom. How many times God has tried to restrain your heart or open your heart. How many times God has tried to bless us as parents and we missed Him because we weren't present to the present moment. I want you to imagine how many people's lives have been affected because all of us were able to hear God prompt us, but imagine how many people's lives have not been affected because we missed the promptings of God and we missed out on what God was asking us to do. Imagine how many blessings for all of us personally in our marriages, as parents, and in the whole world, how many times we have missed God's blessings because we were distracted with something else, because we failed to hear God, not because He wasn't saying anything, but as He was speaking to us, wanting us to hear Him, because we weren't present to the present moment to hear Him. It's week two of a series on hearing God. And if you and I want to hear God, we have to start by just being present to the present moment. So what's one thing that we can all do this week? What's one thing that we can do this week to kind of assess where we are and to be more disposed to hearing God? One thing that we can do this week is this. I want you to ask yourself, if you're present to the present moment. Now let me hit pause there. If you simply asked yourself, if you were present to the present moment, you'd probably give yourself a resounding passing grade. So don't ask yourself. I want you to ask yourself if you're present to the present moment by asking your spouse if you're present to the present moment. Or ask your kids if you're present to the present moment. Or ask your parents or those that you are with the most. In other words, don't reflect upon it only on your own. You can do that. But reach out and get some feedback to the people who experience your attention span. One thing that we can all do this week together is ask the people in our life, hey, am I present when I'm with you? Am I present to the present moment? Get some feedback from other people as they tell you what their experience has been. And then if they reveal to you that you're not present to the present moment, then let's all ask why. Ask them to be honest with you. Ask them to tell you what pulls you away. Maybe it's work, maybe it's your phone, maybe it's technology or distractions, whatever it is. Ask them to be concrete. Ask them to be honest. Ask them to be real with you. Why is it that they think you're not present to the present moment? One thing that we can all do this week is we can all do that. If we start with the human things, then we're going to learn a little bit more about why we may not be as present to the present moment when it comes to God. But grace builds on nature. The one thing that we can all do this week together is we can reach out and ask somebody to give us their impression of how present we are to the present moment. And imagine if we all do that. Because it's good for us to be together today. And I just want to say thank you for the privilege of being back with you. It's been a real grace for me in these first 3 weeks to rediscover you all over again. I want to say thank you to you this week for allowing me to come back and to be welcomed again into this family here at Christ the Redeemer. I want to say thank you, and I want to thank God for the privilege of returning. However, as I behold us, I'm also beholding God beholding us. As I look at you this morning, I'm also looking at God looking at all of us this morning. And as God looks at all of us this morning, as we come together as a family, God wants to bless us, and His heart grieves, and I have to be honest with you, my heart would grieve as a father, as a pastor, if we would miss out on what God is ready to give us. God wants to bless us even more than He's blessed us in the past. God wants to continue to pour forth His love upon us. God wants to continue to change our lives even more than what they've been in the past. God wants to give us more. There's so much more that God is ready to bestow upon us. And if that's what brought you here to this family this morning, I want to say welcome to what God is doing. But imagine what will happen if we're not present to the present moment and we miss out on what God wants to do. And imagine what would happen if all of us together did one little exercise this week and we all came back next week ready to be present to the present moment, to hear God, and we were more disposed for God to give us what He wants to give us. What's placed before us is an opportunity for us to receive what God wants to give us, or to let our habits of distraction prevent us. And I am committed to you as your pastor to being more present to the present moment, not just to be present to you, but more importantly, to be present to Him in everything that God wants to give us. But we pray together right now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, we come before you this morning knowing that you want to be heard more than we want to hear you, knowing that you are more present to us than we are present to us, knowing that right now, in the present moment, you are with us. Father, we ask that you would unseal the fountain of grace, that you would bless us this morning, that we would all be given the grace to be present to the present moment, and therein that we would be given the grace to hear you speaking to us. Father, we ask that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done in all of our lives. Have your way with our parish family here, but having your way in people's lives. Give us the grace that we need this week to be honest and real with those that we love so that they might help us become more aware of how present we are. May this 2018 be a year of profound blessings upon us. May you attune our ears and our souls, our hearts, our lives to hear you more. May your kingdom come and your will be done. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.